Good morning. If you would, please stand and join in this morning's opening hymn, number one.
Try this again. Good morning. I want to welcome everyone here. Appreciate you being here. Glad to see all of your faces. A couple announcements as we begin the service here. Just in your bulletin note, there's a couple inserts. This seems, of course, there's a lot going on because we're getting close to Lent. And there's a lot of things that you can take part in as part of the Lenten season. One thing I'll just remind you of are the Lenten services that will be coming up. Of course, that kicks off with the Ash Wednesday service, which will be this Wednesday at the Mossy Creek Presbyterian Church. Service starts at 7 o'clock p.m. So if you aren't busy on Wednesday evening and would like to come out to that service, I'll be participating in it along with the other area ministers. So I hope that you can come be a part of that. Next Sunday, we will start our Lenten services at Sangersville Church of the Brethren. That will follow all the way up till Easter Sunday. And those services start at 6 o'clock. There's a soup and sandwich meal. It's just a free will offering. Different churches come together and provide the meal, so it's really nice for that fellowship event. And then, of course, there is a time of worship afterwards. So I hope that you come out, fill your Sunday evenings with just gathering with your local community, and it's really nice worship time together. So I hope that you take advantage of that. Also, things that are happening here. Note there that we're going to start taking pictures for our new pictorial directory. And we want everyone that is coming to Moscow to be a part of that. Alan Landis is going to have a sign-up sheet available there in the on the bulletin board when you come in. I'm not sure if that's up quite yet or not. Alan, it is up. It's available. Guinea pig. Okay. Thank you, Alan, for doing that. Again, that's happening in the fellowship hall. He does have a sign-up sheet available, though, so if you want to dress up nice and have your family here with you to take that, we certainly hope that you take advantage of that also. Thank you, Alan, for doing that. It's going to be nice to have a picture directory. We haven't did one in a while, so sometimes we see people, we know faces, we don't know names so well, and it's nice to be able to put names and faces together. So that's a great thing. Also, there is a date change for our spring CBM. I want you to take note of that. The date has been pushed back 1 week. And this is because we have been asked by the Covenant Brethren Church, which is our denomination now, to take part in a fellowship Sunday. And it's kind of a denominational thing that they're doing. They're hoping that all the new and existing Covenant Brethren churches will come together on that Sunday and really focus on fellowship. And a part of fellowship, they want the churches to have a fellowship meal. So we were already having CBM kind of the Sunday before this event. And we thought, well, why not just kind of put the two together and we can have that one fellowship meal. So I hope that you come March 26th to be a part of not only our CBM, but that fellowship time together. Myself and Debbie Hinton will be sharing special music that Sunday. So that will be fun. I'll be on the banjo and she's going to be on the piano. And so that should be a unique thing, and I hope that you come and see that as well. All right, are there any other announcements that you'd like to make? Anything else? I know there's a lot on there. You can just take a look at it. With that, let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this glorious day. Lord, thank you for a new morning which we can arise and, Lord, just give you praise and thanks and glory. We've come here and gathered as your church this morning, and, Lord, we just worship you. We worship your Son, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for him. Lord, we just praise his name here together. If we sing our hymns, Lord, and we share in the word, Lord, we are just lifting up our praise and our thanks to our Savior, Jesus. And Lord, we just praise him evermore. Bless us, I pray, in and through your Holy Spirit in this service together. Move in our lives. Draw us closer to you, I pray. And Lord, just draw us closer in our walk with you each and every day, even through this service. I pray these things. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray these things together. Amen. Let's stand together for our call to worship. You have this inside your bulletin. This coming from portions of John chapter 10. And then Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." Let's turn our hymnals, page 506. "I Will Sing of My Redeemer." Page 506. Sound great this morning. Okay, just a couple, I want to take some time to gather up our prayer requests and our praises, and a couple praises that I have. One in particular is to have Gene beside me again here for this Sunday. Isn't that great? What a blessing to have Jean. She's doing better and got some strength back, and she's able to be with us. And so we just praise the Lord for that. And she is doing a great job this morning. So we just thank you, Jean. She said we hadn't heard everything yet. So we're glad to have her here, and we appreciate her being a little better. And just praise the Lord for all the healing that God is doing in Jean's life. So what a blessing for that. What a joy. Also, a joy I had was yesterday at our skate event with the children. Boy, that was a larger turnout than we expected. I told the people there would probably be 50 to 60 people in attendance. And I would guess there was somewhere around 300 plus is how many people came to this event. There were 196 kids that got skates. Yeah, praise God. Isn't that wonderful? We had all the North River there, I believe, the North River community. And so there were 9 churches that participated in that event. So isn't that great? And some of these churches have, their youth has just shrunk down to a size where they couldn't do that by themselves. But when we come together and do it, it's really reasonable for everyone. And all the kids get to participate. So there was a lot of people there, and all the pastors, I know, the people we just celebrated. And I encouraged them when we left. I said, go to church tomorrow. That's the best thing you can do. Show your thanks. Go to church. So I hope that many of those who participated and even visited with us there yesterday evening or yesterday night are at church today because of that event. So we're blessed. Okay. By way of prayer requests, if you would, put on your prayer list Billy Ware. Billy just shared with me he is going to have surgery on his back on April the 11th. So if you would be in prayer for Billy and that surgery and that it goes well and fix his back. And I know that's a scary thing when they think of surgery on your back, but we know that God's anointing you, Billy, for that surgery. And we know that that's going to go good. That's our prayer. So we're lifting you up. Also, Sherry got good news that she will be having surgery on February the 27th. So praise God for that. I think last Sunday it was like in March, but they got a call again and were able to move that up even sooner. And so February 27th, Sherry will be having a surgery. And we just ask that you be in prayer for her. Just to give her the peace that she needs as she enters into that surgery, a very big surgery on her hip, and just pray that that goes well. We know it will, Sherry. And so we lift you up in prayer this morning. Also, February 27th is a date for me, too. I'll be able to get my stitches out of the finger that they operated on this past week. Praise God, there was no cyst in there, but there was excessive fluid buildup in the joint. And so they were able to take care of that and said maybe they could just treat my problem with like a steroid of some sort. So praise the Lord for that. That was good news for me, and I appreciate all your prayers for me as well. Are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share at this time? Pauline?
But anyway, praise God, we had a lot of help. Our children, our 3 daughters, our son-in-laws, even our great-grandchildren helped. And I just praise God for that. He stepped forward and took care of us. And also, Banks is having blocky in his right leg again.
Yes.
So he has surgery this coming Friday. We have to be at the hospital at 11 o'clock. So I appreciate your prayers. And he turned 92.
Yep, that's right, 92. We celebrated that last Sunday. And Vance, good to see you. We'll be praying for you for this surgery next Friday, or this coming Friday, rather. And so just pray that that will go good, and just pray that that'll fix the problem. So Lord's got you, doesn't he, Vance? Yes, he does. Yeah. Thank you, Pauline, for sharing that. Any other prayer requests, Janet? Yes.
She is cancer-free now. She is home. Yep. Doing well.
Praise God.
And we just can't praise God enough.
Yep. It's answered prayers, isn't it? I know as soon as I heard that she was cancer-free, I knew God had worked a miracle, and just praise God for it. So thank you, Janet, for sharing that, and glad that she is home. Just pray for her continued recovery now. So, Deborah. Yeah, if you would, just keep Evelyn Shiflett, Deborah's grandmother, in your prayers for a fall and hospitalization. And so just pray for her recovery. Debbie? Yes.
He was got sick on Monday, and when he got sick, it messed up his INR, which is his blood, and his blood got really, really, really thin. And thank God he didn't get cut anyway, because he probably could have bled.
Yep.
I don't think we could have got it stopped. His blood's supposed to be between 2.5 and 3.5, and his was 6.6 at the hospital. He's in the emergency room Wednesday morning, and when we come home and took it in, it had already went up another point. It was 6.7.
Yep.
He's still trying to recover from all that.
There's a lot of flus going around and stomach bugs, so wash your hands real good. We'll just praise the Lord that my dad's healing, and for all the prayers answered there. But pray for all those really that are suffering with this stomach bug and flus. And I think there's still COVID going around, all these seasonal things yet. Come on, warm weather, right? And get out of this flu season and get the sun shining. So thank you. Appreciate you sharing that. Lee?
Yuck. Savannah Miller.
Yes.
She got a bone marrow
transplant. Praise the Lord.
And she went to our Philadelphia Children's Hospital last week, and they had been doing the transplant in first March.
Yep.
And her grandmother, Martha Hanger, is a friend of mine, and she likes to thank everyone for praying.
Yep. That's what we were praying last week, that she would be able to get the blood transfusion. This little girl, Savannah, just praise the Lord for that she was able to get this transfusion. Now we just pray for healing for her, for this blood disorder that she has been fighting. So thank you, Lee, for that update, and continue to keep little Savannah in your prayers. Anyone else? With that, I'm going to call now our ushers to come forward to collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together in prayer. Will you bow your heads with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we just thank you for who you are in our life. Lord, as we come to you in prayer here this morning, Lord, we know that you are faithful to always hear our prayer. Lord, you're always concerned with what we have to say. You always make it your business to know our business. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we know that we're not alone. Lord, that your eye is always upon us, that you're always watching. Lord, we thank you for the many answered prayers that were shared here this morning. Lord, we know that your work, your good work, your miracles are continuing to happen. We even see it and hear about it here in this local body of Moscow. Lord, we thank you that you are a miracle-working God. Lord, that if we have troubles or problems in our life, if we're going through struggles, if we're dealing with difficulties, that, Lord, we can seek you. And, Lord, that you will provide those miracles in our life as you have in others. Lord, we thank you so much for that. Lord, we just pray that we continue to be faithful to you as you have been faithful to us. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us to repent of those sins in our life, putting those curse sins behind us. And Lord, let us just draw close to you. Lord, put your heart within us. Replace that old stony heart, that hard heart that is within us. And Lord, let us have your heart to seek those things that always honor and glorify you. Lord, we pray for our offertory this morning. Lord, just pray each giver is blessed, Lord. Thank you for the offering that is brought forth. Lord, we just know that you bless this church to continue to do your work. Lord, we need your help to do that and your direction. But Lord, we thank you that you are always providing that. Lord, just bless each giver, I pray, as they seek to bless you even through their giving. Might you bless them more in return. Be with us as we turn our hearts to your word now. Open our hearts to receive it, Lord. Open our ears to hear it, our eyes to see it. Lord, we need your spiritual discernment. And Lord, we just pray that help for each one of us now. So bless us, I pray. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, our children's church and youth Sunday school can be dismissed. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Hold up.
I didn't pay attention to the bulletin. Just one second. Gene, thank you for catching me on that. Yeah, we're going to have... Gene is going to share now in special music, and then I'll release the children. They were excited, but hold on just one minute. So, thank you, Gene. Thank you. Yes. Thank you, Gene. I really appreciate that. That's a bluegrass song, too. I've played that on the banjo before. I need to get my banjo and organ. Maybe that would be a duet, too. Yeah. Okay, now the children's church can be dismissed and the youth Sunday school. Thank you very much. And if you're still here with me, I want you to turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. The title of the sermon is Your Best Life Now. I got just, you know, you can get these little pictures with little snippets of encouragements and just different sayings. There was a little snippet I got, and it said that everything is better with Jesus. No matter if you're on the mountaintop in your life or you're in the valley, that everything is better with Jesus. And I thought, wow, that is a great thought, that our life, our best life is lived when we have Jesus in it, isn't it? When we're living it with Jesus in our life, that is our best life. Everything is better with Jesus. And so I think that's kind of what Paul is saying here as he looks to this new life that we have, that we're made alive now in Christ. He's pointing out this idea that you're living your very best life because you now have Jesus in that life. And so let's pick up here Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. And it says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." Verse 3, "Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive." There's that word again, alive. "Together with Christ, by grace you have been saved." Verse 6, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in all the ages to come he might show his exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You know, I don't know if you've ever thought this thought. I have occasionally, and think of it often, is that how would my life be if I didn't have Jesus? How would my life be different? How pitiful my life would be, I think, if I didn't have Jesus. And I don't know if that's something that you think about as well. It's just this thought of thanks and praise that you have Jesus in your life. That is a blessing to you. You recognize that. And you think, I don't know how I would live life without that relationship with Christ in my life. I think that's a good thought. It's one that really, I believe, God likes us to have, recognizing that he is that important and should be important in our life. You know, there's a large majority of people today that choose to live their life without Jesus. They just choose to live life apart from that relationship with Christ in their life. And it's sad. Now, having Christ in my life, I look around and think that's just a pitiful thing. I wish they could be able to experience, even I, as I have and you have, the wonderful blessing it is to have Jesus in your life. Listen, the number one thing, the very top and most important life choice that I have ever made in my life is choosing to have Jesus in my life, choosing to serve Jesus. I hope that each of you are able to say the exact same thing. But today, many people choose to reject Christ, even as they have in centuries past, and they're missing out on the benefits and the blessings of knowing Jesus. Now, what are the benefits of having Jesus in your life? Have you ever sat down and thought about what the benefits, what the blessings are in your life of having this relationship with Christ? Well, what about the benefit of knowing that God so loved you, that you are so loved by God, that He was willing to send His Son to die on a cross for you? Don't you think that's a wonderful benefit and blessing? None of us can feel rejected. None of us can feel as if we are unloved. None of us can throw a pity party for ourselves saying, no, nobody likes me. Nobody loves me. You ever told yourself that? You ever got in that state of mind? Nobody likes me. I'm miserable. I'm no good. Boy, what a lie from hell that is. Jesus Himself came down to show you His love, didn't He? What a benefit and blessing in your life to know that God so loved you. You are so loved by God that His own Son took upon the pain and torture of a cross for you. Boy, I tell you, we should just be filled with joy because of that. We are filled with His love because He has proven that love to us upon a cross. That we wouldn't perish, but that we would have eternal life. How about the benefit of knowing that all our sins are forgiven us? The Bible says that our sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. Well, that's a blessing, isn't it? Know that all that sin we've committed, all the wrong that we commit, is washed away by the blood of Jesus. How about the benefit of just having that personal friendship, that relationship with Christ in your life? There's no better friend in your life than Jesus. Isn't that the truth? No better friend in your life than Jesus. Make Him your very best friend. He'll never fail you. He'll never treat you wrong. He'll only do what's right. He's the best friend that you can have. Think of all the old hymns that we sing talk about that relationship. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me I am His own. How about the old hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus? We sing these old hymns, don't we? Because we recognize that we are blessed with this relationship that we have with our Savior. How about the benefit of having the Holy Spirit in your life? Isn't that a blessing? Each one of you as a believer, the Bible says, has received into your life the gift of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? What does the Holy Spirit do? He's called the great helper, isn't He? He's the helper. What's He help us do? He help us live the Christian lifestyle. He gives us discernment when we're making decisions. You ever had that burning, searing thought in your mind? Oh, law, don't do that, Darren. Because that is sinful. I don't want you to make that mistake. That's the old Holy Spirit talking to me and talking to you and telling you what is right, what is wrong, convicting you of right and wrong, helping you understand the Scriptures when you read it. You have this great gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. You just thank God for Him, don't we? What would we do without Jesus in our life? The gift of the Holy Spirit. How about the benefit of being set free from that life of sin? You know, think about our life before Christ. We walked in sin, didn't we? We were really held captive by it. We didn't realize it, but we were. But then when Jesus comes into our life, He sets us free, doesn't He? Our eyes are open. Once I was blind, the old hymn says, and now I see. I see that those sinful things for me are no longer good. I want to move out of that life. I'm ready to receive the strength that I need to live a different life. And He gives us that life. A life free from sin, from the trouble and worry of a sin-filled life. And He gives us the spirit of peace and love and joy and kindness and goodness. These are the fruits of the Spirit, amen, that you've received into your life. So listen, I believe with all my heart, I pray you do too, that every person who comes to Jesus, receives Jesus into their heart, surrenders their life into this life of discipleship and obedience to Christ, is absolutely living their best life with Christ. Amen? Amen. You are living your best life with Christ when you have committed yourself. Everything is better with Jesus. Now, Paul makes reference here to this old life. Notice there, look at verse 2, or verse 1 and 2 there. And you he made alive who were dead in trespass and sins. Look, he's kind of pointing back at that old life, isn't he? You were once dead. He says, in which you once walked. This is the old life. He says, this old life, this dead life, this life of death, according to the curse, it says, of this world. This is the old life, but notice you've received a new life in Christ. This life that is defined as being made alive. Once you were dead in sins, and now in Christ you have been made alive. That you're no longer under this curse of your trespass and sin, this curse of death. But now Christ has given you life. Life of death isn't the best life, is it? You know, sometimes Satan fools us thinking that that sinful life, that life of seeking pleasure, seeking the sinful appetites of our flesh, that's the life that's the best life. That's what Satan tells us, doesn't he? Just go out and seek your heart's desire. Well, the Bible says man's heart is dreadfully sinful. Go out and seek your heart's desire. That's where you'll really be happy. If you're just following your heart, let that lead you. Just follow that and then you'll reach a place of true bliss and fulfillment in your life. And that, tell you, friends, that's just a lie. It's not where it will lead you. It'll lead you to a life at the end you look back and think, I've wasted my whole time here on earth. I've fulfilled it with things that are foolish, that won't give me eternal life. I've wasted it on myself. And it's a life, not of a life and being alive, but a life of death, it says. There's no eternal hope in this life of death. There's no joy. There's no meaning. There's no satisfaction. There's no forgiveness of sin. They live in a life filled with guilt of their own sin. No knowledge of God's love. No gift of the Spirit. No life set free from suffering and sin. Just a life of death. Not a life of abundance, like we said even in our call to worship, but a life of death. Verse 2, under the ways of this world and according to the prince of the power of the air, the devil, the spirit who is now at work in the sons of disobedience. That's the life, the prior life that people lived before finding Jesus. A life dominated by the lusts of the flesh, look there in verse 3, that are filled with the desires of the flesh and the minds that were by nature. Children of wrath, just as the others, is how it says it. Listen, the believer is free from the life of death, and we have exchanged it for the life of having that life in Christ. Now, I recently listened to a testimonial about a guy named, well, you probably know him, Phil Robertson. He's kind of famous for the Duck Commanders. Maybe you've watched some of that on TV, some of the program there. And that was kind of a hit show that they had. They have a new show out, which is called Duck Family Treasures, which they go looking for a buried treasure in the ground. They're always doing something crazy and funny. But you know, one thing I appreciate about the show is they are not ashamed of their faith. They make that a point in each one of the shows. In fact, I think every show closes with prayer. I know the Duck Commanders did, and I believe Duck Family Treasures is continuing on doing the same thing, sharing about their faith. Their family is devout Christians, and they promote their faith wherever they can. One thing you might not know about Phil, though, is that before he became this world-famous duck call maker and this devout Christian, that he owned a beer joint. That's how he called it. He said, I owned a beer joint. And they said his life suffered from addiction, suffered from alcoholism, suffered from drug use, and that he was drinking and using drugs to a point of where his lovely wife, Miss Kay, she's on the program too, at one point moved out of the house. She couldn't live with her husband anymore. He was too addicted to drugs and alcohol and this abuse. And so she moved out. At that time, she only had two of the boys. I don't think the youngest, maybe it's Jace is the youngest. He wasn't born yet. But Miss Kay moved out of the home. And Phil said that during that time in his life, this is how he said it. He said, I was a scumbag and a heathen. That's how he defined himself. He added, I didn't even realize who Jesus was. I was too busy, he says, I was too busy drinking and smoking dope. And the only time I heard God's name mentioned was when he and others were using it in vain, is what he said. But he went on to say then that this was the first part of his life for 28 years. He was involved in this type of lifestyle, living for himself, this sinful pleasure. But he said, trust me when I tell you this, that the last 42 years have been way better than the first 28. And that's because he has Jesus in his life. I think that we can all say that. Hopefully there's some place in our life where we say, you know, those first years where I was living in sin, I was living for the own pleasures of my life. At some point, Christ came in and my life changed. And the life I live now is the best life. It's the better life. The life of sin, the life of addiction is the life that leads to destruction. But the life that I live now in Christ, it's the best life that I live. And that's what he says. Paul describes his life as this past experience, this former life, as his worst life. A life which was dead in trespass and sin. A life of suffering under the fleshly appetite. But then comes Jesus. And Jesus makes us alive. He makes us alive and separates us from our sin and death and sorrow, and we live our best life now. Let me ask you, are you living your best life now? Can you look back and say, there's the old life. There's the old life that I was living for self, but then Jesus came in and I'm living that life for Him now. I pray you can. I pray so. I want to give you real quickly, in addition to what we're reading here in Scripture, this old life and new life, I think three reasons this morning why the Christian life is your best life. I hope you take note of this. Number one, it's your best life because God brings peace to your past. Isn't that wonderful? God has brought peace to your past. One of the things Phil Robertson said in this little devotional he gave, testimony, was that he gained one of the rarest things that is on earth when he received Jesus. One of the rarest commodities. And that was peace of mind. That when he was living in a life of sin, that his mind wasn't at peace, that his life was in turmoil. But then when he received Christ, that he received this rarest of commodities, this peace of mind in his life. He didn't carry that burden of sin and guilt and shame anymore in his life. But that God had removed all those things and had healed his heart and brought peace into his life. You know, you cannot, I can guarantee this, you are not going to have peace of mind in your life in any other way than through your relationship with Christ. You can do all sorts of things. You can devote yourself to yoga and meditation and other religions. You can devote yourself to all sorts of help things, help books and whatever practices. But in the end, there is no real true peace of mind than that which Christ guarantees us and gives us and which we receive. There's none other. Some people try to find peace through therapeutics, pharmaceutical drugs, maybe drug use, addiction. I think that's what Phil was trying to do, to find peace, drug addiction, alcohol. All these sorts of things people do in their life to seek to find some peace of mind. And you just won't find it, friends, apart from Christ. Phil says, only Christ can give the rarest commodity in the world. Jesus told his disciples in John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you do I give to you, Jesus said. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Listen, the believer's best life is the best life because God has given us peace, peace with our past. That sinful lifestyle that we have lived, those things that we have done wrong, God has forgiven us. Listen, friends, you're forgiven. You don't have to carry your past around with you. Some people carry their past around like, I think of people going through the airport with their luggage. You ever seen that? Traveling with their luggage, it's pulling this thing around, just kind of holding them back. They can't move, you know. Maybe you've been on that vacation, you're yanking your luggage around. When I travel with a family of four, I get all the luggage. You know, it's not easy, is it? I think sometimes we go through life with all the luggage of our past sins. We're trying to pull all this around with us. All this burden we have, all these wrong decisions we made, things we've done wrong, you know, all this burden of sin. And Jesus says, I just want you to take it away. I want you to know that it's been removed from you. You don't have to carry that around anymore, friends. Listen, your sin is washed away. Hear it again. Your sin is washed away. Your past has been forgiven you. He doesn't see the wrong that you've committed. He just sees the righteousness which you have received in Christ Jesus. Isn't that great? Amen. Isn't that wonderful to know? All your past, all your sinful deeds, any wrongs that you have ever committed have been forgiven you. Boy, think of Paul, how he felt about that. Think of how he felt knowing that he had committed murder. He had committed sins, unthinkable sins. And that sin was forgiven him. And he recognized that he was healed and set free from those sins in Christ. Don't carry around your sins anymore. Give them to Jesus. He's healed you. He's forgiven you. He's set you free. The second thing, not only does God bring peace to our past, but notice God brings purpose to your present. He brings purpose to your present. The second reason we're living our best life now is because God has given you purpose in your life. One person said the mystery of the human existence lies not only in just staying alive, but in finding something to live for. And God's given you something to live for. He's given you a purpose. You're living for Jesus. You're living to serve Him, to please Him. Not a self-pleasure or pleasing of self, but you're seeking to please God in your life. God has given you purpose. You don't have to say, what am I here for? You ever heard somebody say that? What am I here for? What is my life meaning? What is my life purpose? Your life purpose is to follow and worship God, to serve Him and allow Him to bless your life for doing so. That's your purpose, to serve God, to enjoy God, to worship God, to see God, to help others. See God, even as you see Him. Look at verse 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love, with which He loved us even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. There's our purpose. He made us alive unto Christ. Peace to the past, purpose to the present. Last one, God brings us hope to the future. Hope to the future. Look there at verse 6 and 7. He raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And look at verse 7 there. That in the ages to come, that's future, isn't it? This is hope to the future. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Listen, there's hope for your future because you have Jesus. Life is not going to stop when you take your last breath upon this earth. If I preach your service, I'm going to say that your life hasn't ended, but you're continuing on in Christ Jesus because the Scriptures tell us that as believers, God gives us hope for our future, doesn't He? Isn't that wonderful? Past takes away our past, forgives us of our past. Present gives us a purpose right now. And future, there's a future to come. Isn't that why we live our best life right now? Boy, those are three good points. I pray you put that into your mind. Keep it plugged in there. It's just amazing. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you that, Lord, our past, present, and future right now is our best life because, Lord, we have you in our life. Lord, that we are seeking to serve your Son Jesus, that we have received him into our life. And Lord, that he has blessed us with all these things. Father, we just thank you for the relationship that we have. And I pray, Lord, that if we have neglected that relationship, Lord, even right now, it might just be a moment of renewal for us, that we again devote ourselves at this very moment to draw close to your Son, Jesus. Maybe we felt that our life hasn't been our best life here recently. Maybe we've been feeling down. Maybe we feel as if our life has lost purpose, or, Lord, we're feeling the overwhelming emotions of a past failure or sin. Lord, maybe we've even started to question where our future lies. Lost that hope for the future. Lord, I just pray that any of us, Lord, that have committed those sins, Lord, that we come back now. We seek renewal in our relationship with you, and we again devote ourselves to living the very best life that we can right now by serving you, by worshiping your Son Jesus. Help each one of us that pray that prayer right now. Help us, I pray. In Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, we're going to gather now in our closing hymn, and it's page 357. Jesus Loves Even Me. Page 357. And I'll ask you to stand together and sing. Page 357.
Thank you.
beautiful, what a beautiful hymn. Isn't that wonderful? I hope that hymn just resonates in your head all week. I'm just so glad that Jesus loves me. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Grace, Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for this word of encouragement this morning. Lord, I just pray that each of us draw near to you. Lord, we know that the best life we can live is the one where you are in it, where you are praised and worshiped, where we are seeking and serving you, that self is being denied, that the old life is being put away, like the story of Phil, that old life is being discarded of. And Lord, we're seeking now that new life, which is found only in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you for his love. Thank you for his forgiveness. Thank you for his relationship, his friendship, his spirit, his forgiveness of sin. On and on we go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. We praise his name here together. Bless us, I pray, this week. Let that hymn, I pray, resonate all week long. We're just so glad that Jesus loves me. Bless us, I pray. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen.